Thank you for allowing me to speak to you today. It's great to be here. This is a great story. I've been teaching a class on Genesis for about 8 months now, and I've learned a lot about God and how God works because of the class. And I got to thank Vivian and the ladies who asked me to speak or lead the class. It's amazing what you learn when you study the Bible for a class. It's amazing. I've asked God for help, of course, like everybody does. I hope to share some of this, of what I've learned with you today. As we go through my sermon this morning, I hope you will hear God speak to you the way I'm hearing God speak to me. I hope you will see how much God wants a relationship with you all. And I pray you will want a relationship with God if you don't already have one with Him. Please pray with me. Holy Father, you're so good, so loving. Thank you for your word. Thank you for knowing us and for your word allowing us to know you. Please help us this day. Help me to speak through me, Father. And I pray the people that are here would learn something that is applicable in their life where they're at. And you'll help me to apply it in my life. Help us all. Thank you so much for the church, and that we have a place to come and to be strengthened by others of the same belief. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for all He's done for us and for the hope of heaven. Be with us. Watch over us. This I pray in the Christ of the Lord. Amen. This message is about Abraham being a good servant and a friend of God. Christians are friends of God too. Please open your Bible to Genesis 18 and follow the scriptures with me. I'm using the NIV version. The three visitors. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried to the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the A few things stand out here to me. In the heat of the day, most likely much hotter than 80 or 85 degrees like here in Ventura, Abraham bowed low to the ground, using his hands and face, a sign of respect. The ground was most likely hot enough to melt his shoes. And I know Abraham was almost 100 years old. This does shed light on his respect for the visitors. The ministry of a servant. In seeking to identify Abraham's three visitors, Genesis 19:1 says, the two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening. Therefore, two of the three are angels. The other being appears to be a messenger who God is speaking through. And we know God has spoken to Abraham before in Genesis 12:1 and 15:1, meaning Abraham knows God. It does seem that Abraham recognized the heavenly origin of his guests because he sprang into action to serve them when they appeared. That reaction sets a good example for us because you never know when the Lord will show up at your place. When he does, he is looking for the same servant heart he found in Abraham. Hebrews 13:2. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing them. Abraham continues to speak, 18:3. He said, if I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat, so you may be refreshed. And then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant. Very well, they answered, do as you say. The quickness of his ministry. Abraham springs into action, speedily trying to supply every need of his heavenly visitors. He may be 100 years old, but there is no hesitation as he flies from one task to the next until all is completed. Note to self. Here is a man who recognized his duty and set about to do it quickly as possible. May I just remind us all that the Lord deserves the best service we can give him. When we are serving him, regardless of how menial the task, we should do our best to recognize who we are serving, and we should seek to do the best job possible for the glory of the Lord. If it is worth doing for the Lord, it is worth doing right. Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Ephesians 6, 7, and 8. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. Continuing with verse 6. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. Quick, he said, get 3 sheahs of the finest flour and knead it and bake some bread. Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf. He gave it to the servant, who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and a calf that had been prepared and set these before them. The quality of his ministry. Not only was Abraham swift in the service to the Lord, but he was also sacrificial in his service to the Lord. He went to his flock and personally selected, killed, and prepared a calf for their meal. Note to self. You haven't really become a servant until your sacrifice, until your service costs you personally. Being willing to sacrifice for your master is a sign that you possess a servant's heart. Whether the service is time, tithe, or talents, it is willingly and lovingly rendered at the request of the master and for his glory. The greatest sacrifice you can offer, of course, is yourself. That is a sacrifice no one else can give to him. By the way, when he has you, he has everything you have anyway. And he has blessed you with everything you have. Romans 12, 1-2, a living sacrifice. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. 1 Peter 2:10. Once we were not a people, but now you are a people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Continuing on to Genesis 18. While they ate, he stood near them under the tree. The quietness of his ministry. While his visitors were eating their meal, he stood near them quietly by to serve them in any way they might need. He simply stood beside them, adopting the pose of a servant, listening to the voice of his Lord. Note to self, imagine the reaction of Abraham's servants as they watched him assume the role of a servant of the Lord. By the way, what a powerful testimony it was to them. By the way, other people here in Ventura are watching us too. Make sure your service and testimony are all they should be. Note to self, real servants of God are those individuals who make themselves ever available to the Lord and his work. They are ready and willing to serve him at a moment's notice. When there are no other orders to follow, they will continue to do the best, the last thing he told them to do until new orders come. They are his and they have no will of their own, but they are lost in his will for their lives. This is a servant's heart. What do you consider to be the last words our Lord spoke to us about? I believe it is Matthew 28, the Great Commission. We all hear these words differently, and we all respond to these words differently. But I believe in my heart, this is why we all have different talents and gifts to use for good. We all have one job to do. How we do it is not important. Being a doer and not just a hearer is important. The Great Commission, Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When he saw them, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Continuing on with Genesis 18:9. Listen closely to this conversation. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked. "There in the tent," he said. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I'm old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I'm old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." A message about a child. Sarah was afraid because she did not want God to think she did not believe him. I believe God knew her true thoughts and was kind to her, just like God is kind to us too. It is possible that Sarah laughed for many reasons. Twice in the past 20 years, Abraham has passed Sarah off as his sister, with the result that she had entered other men's harems and came perilously close to being violated while Abraham stood mutely by. For the past 15 years, Sarah had observed Abraham's obvious affection for Hagar, Sarah's handmaiden with whom he had begat Ishmael, and he had made no secret of his delight in the son of their union. The Abraham and Sarah story does not have a history that speaks of marital bliss, much less one that can reignite the passion of the bed. No, there are more obstacles embedded in this story than just Sarah is old. Sarah may be heartbroken, or at least resigned to the distance between Abraham and herself. She laughs not at the absurdity of a child. She laughs at the thought that she might ever again experience pleasure with her husband, a peculiar Hebrew word she uses, encompassing both lust and delight and all essential pleasures in between. Far more than just her womb will need to be restored, and so she laughs because she cannot hold her. But in challenging her, God is also gracious. Gracious to the point where he deliberately misquotes what she has said, so that Abraham thinks she laughs only because she is old. God will not expose the longings hidden by her laughter, but he will answer them. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? God speaks the question to Abraham, but it is intended for Sarah who answers. Sarah continued to laugh. She named her son Isaac, which means laughter. And everyone who hears about this will laugh with her. Genesis 21:6. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Note to self, this episode is a reminder that God knows everything there is to know about you and me. He knows our motives, our secret sins, and all that we do. Nothing is hidden from his eyes. Hebrews 4:13. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Abraham pleads for Sodom, verse 16. When the men got up to leave, they looked down towards Sodom and Abraham, Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all the nations will be blessed through him, for I have chosen him, so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him." Then the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin is so grievous, that I will go down and see what they have done. What they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know." Then the men turned away and went toward Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike? Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth be right?" Let's talk about this statement from Abraham. When I first read it, I thought, how bold is Abraham? Then I realized, no. He shows his love and concern for God here. I am the one who is bold when I question God for the wrong reasons that are most likely selfish on my part. I love how Abraham speaks with such respect and honor. We should listen to Abraham before we talk to the Lord. We continue reading Genesis 18:26. The Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Then Abraham spoke again, "And now that I've been so bold to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city for the lack of 5 people?" "If I find 45 there," he said, "I will not destroy." Once again, he spoke to him, "What if 40 are found there?" He said, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there?" He answered, I will not do it if I find 30 there." Abraham said, "Now that I've been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there?" He said, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found?" He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." When the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left and Abraham returned home. The dialogue between Abraham and the Lord is just amazing. Abraham's prayer to the Lord arises out of several burdens he carries because of the revelation he has just received. First, he is concerned about God's reputation. If the Lord simply destroys the people of Sodom, Abraham is concerned that people will get the wrong impression of God and his love for sinners. Secondly, he's thinking about Lot and his family who live in Sodom. He wants to see them spared, at the very least. So he begins to talk to God about the situation and get God to agree to spare the city if just 10 righteous people can be found there. In Lot's family, there was Lot, his wife, 2 unmarried daughters, and at least 2 married daughters and their husbands. This was a total of 8 people in family. Abraham must have thought that Lot would have at least won his family and a few others. Note to self, although Abraham did not know it at the time, his prayer was answered. God did spare the righteous when he destroyed the wicked. When the morning came and Abraham looked toward Sodom and saw the smoke of that place, he must have been discouraged. Genesis 19:27-28. early in the morning, Abraham got up and returned to the place where he had stood before the Lord. He looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land of the plain, and he saw the dense smoke rising from the land, like smoke from a furnace. However, his prayer had been heard, and it had been successful. Genesis 19:29. So when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham, and he brought Lot out of the catastrophic catastrophe that overthrew the cities where Lot had lived. Sometimes our prayers seem to be very ineffective and weak, but only in eternity will we know the full impact of our personal ministry of prayer in the lives of others. Therefore, do not be discouraged. Just pray and trust the Lord to bring it to pass. We should pray often as God wants to hear from us. That is part of our relationship with him. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Abraham believed God, and he was called God's friend. James 2:23. And the scripture was fulfilled. It says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. Wow, to be called God's friend. I can't think of a better friend to have. Christians are friends of God too. We are his righteous children. We may not always act righteously, but we are his righteous children. And because of that, we are included in his promise to Abraham. John 15:15. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. What did we learn from this sermon? What it means to be a servant, whether service is time, tithe, talents, or some of each. Is there anything too hard for the Lord who created the heavens and the earth? Don't put limits on God. There are no limits. God listened to Abraham. Prayer is important to us, for us. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. God is loving and patient with us and knows our thoughts. Look at Sarah, who laughed quietly to herself and was told, yes, you did laugh. God showed her mercy in so many ways, as God does to us all. God's providence did prevail in this story. Sarah had Isaac. God's providence will prevail for the Ventura Church of Christ and our preacher search, as preachers will. Do you need to work on one or more of these areas of your relationship with the Lord? If so, pray about them. If you desire to confess your faith in Jesus and put him on in baptism, or you have a special request for the elders, please come forward as we sing the invitation song. Thank you.